Hello, I am Joshua P. Warren, and this is Joshua P. Warren Daily. So after about 3.5 months, we finally have the coroner's report on the death of Art Bell. And it has been reported that he died of an accidental overdose from a cocktail of prescription drugs. He died April 13th, of course that was Friday the 13th, in a bedroom of his Pahrump, Nevada home at the age of 72. And the coroner's office determined that he had 4 prescription medications in his system: the opioid oxycodone, the analgesic hydrocodone, diazepam, often marketed as Valium, and carisoprodol, a muscle relaxant. I'm not familiar with those, so I don't know if I pronounce the names very well. But you know what's interesting is I've gotten some emails from people saying, look up that combo on the internet. It's called the Las Vegas cocktail, and it's, you know, slang. Apparently, people mix these kinds of things together frequently to feel better. And of course, they go on to say that COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and hypertension contributed to his death. The drugs that killed Bell were lawfully prescribed to him, according to the Nye County Sheriff's Office. Apparently, they put a video out on Facebook about this. So anyway, I'm a little surprised because, I mean, I knew that Art had COPD. I mean, he smoked for decades, which is probably one of the reasons that he had such a cutting edge to his deep voice. And, he's had pictures posted of him in the hospital dealing with that. So I kind of imagined that most likely what had happened was, you know, he just went to sleep and his breathing failed. But it makes sense in retrospect that he would be taking a bunch of different drugs, because who wants to die from not being able to breathe? You know, that's one of the worst ways to go, just that feeling of slowly suffocating over time. And so I can see why that he would have been taking a lot of different drugs to help him deal with that terrible fate. And you know, they say it was accidental, and usually when they make that kind of a determination, it's because, you know, it wasn't like there was a suicide note left or something like that. And I don't think, you know, Art ever gave any indication of being a suicidal person. But my best guess is that he also didn't really care that much if he, you know, was going to wake up or not the next day, as long as he could make it through the night and breathe. So he probably was, you know, kind of sloppy with how much of this and that he was mixing together. And again, you can't blame him. But that's, you know, just my feeling about what probably happened, because he was a very, very intelligent guy, and I'm sure that he knew exactly what he was doing when he mixed certain things together and what the risks were and all that. So, altogether, though, honestly, I've said it before and I'll say it again, I think that's a pretty good way to go. You know, a good death is hard to come by, and if you have known people in your family, people in your close circle of friends who have died, sometimes they go and really torturous ways. You know, people get all kinds of conditions that just slowly pull them apart piece by piece, if you will, and they end up in the hospital in absolute misery, practically begging to die. And so, however this happened for Art, you know, after 72 years, my God, the man accomplished so much. He deserved a peaceful death, and I think that's pretty darn nice to envision him going to sleep in his bedroom in Pahrump and fading away one way or another. But now you know that's what they say happened to him. I don't know why it took 3.5 months for them to come out and give us that. But, you know, when Art died last April, I did a whole big podcast about my relationship with Art Bell, and you can go back and listen to that if it's of interest to you. But I'm obviously very honored to have known him, especially to have been interviewed by him on a number of occasions. And he set a standard for this field. Call it radio, call it podcasting, whatever you want. That is a high, high bar. All right, let's move on to some emails that I've been getting. You know, here I am in Las Vegas, which I'm actually only like an hour away from Pahrump, where Art Bell lived. And here in Vegas, we have so much UFO activity that I'm looking into starting some kind of a fairly regular event here, modeled on the Speaking of Strange UFO experience that I did for about 5 years in Western North Carolina. In a nutshell, what I would do is have hobbyists and sort of sci-fi enthusiasts and people like that come together and create fake UFOs and fly them, and it's like a contest to see who can do the best job. And it's very valuable from a research standpoint because we get to look at all that stuff and analyze it and learn about it and how it works. And I've already been talking to some of my friends and colleagues about, you know, being involved in helping me produce something like that on a larger scale. And we'll, you know, that's a project that I think may come together in 2019. Sounds weird, doesn't it? 2019. But I believe that's sort of, you know, what we're looking at this point. But when I did the Speaking of Strange UFO experience in Barnardsville, North Carolina for 5 years, the guy who was just the dominant figure was Jeff Wilson, who lives in Tennessee. Just one of the most talented people, super sharp, intelligent guy who loved to make weird things that could fly. So he was just perfect for our event. And so he won, you know, year after year. I don't think he won every year, but, you know, he won a number of years. And Jeff Wilson, you know, he would create these just huge spectacles in the sky. And I think one time he almost killed half the crowd. I have this memory of some kind of pinwheel type thing that was supposed to go up instead going horizontally and whipping its way through the crowd. We're lucky nobody ever lost a finger. But anyway, Jeff Wilson and his wife, you know, just great, great folks. And it was always a pleasure to see them once a year. And it's been a shame that I haven't seen him in a while now, just due to my travels. But he sent me this message. And I just got it today. He says, "Hey, man, a long time no see." He said, "I had a spooky thing happen last week." Oh, boy, you've got my attention, Jeff. What is it? He says, "We were on a Carnival Magic cruise ship." By the way, if you've listened to me for years, you know, yeah, all kinds of crazy stuff happens on a Carnival cruise ship. So he says, "I was sitting in a common area, and suddenly my glass of Coke, as in Coca-Cola, slid off the table. Thinking it was just a vibration, I ignored it. 2 days later, I was sitting in the atrium, and again, a glass came off a table. But this time, it flew and hit me in the leg higher up than it was on the table." Let me pause and say, listen, this guy, as you should understand from what I just said, is an engineer type. He's very rational and clinical. He's very diagnostic. So for him to say something like this is pretty substantial. So he's saying this glass flies up off the table and hits him higher than it was on the table. And then he says, "Plus, a glass right beside it did not move." which is interesting because you'd think if you just hit a wave or something that everything would have moved. Three people saw it, and we were all amazed and asking one another if we all saw it. So that shows you how significant this was, that everybody sees this one glass do that, and they're all like, did y'all see that? So he says, when we got home, I did some research, and I found out. Oh boy, are you ready for it, folks? You know how these stories end, don't you? Here it is. He says, I found out a man had collapsed in a bar near the first incident and was carried out into the hall by medical staff and died at the exact same area where I was sitting. Also, another passenger said they had water splash on them in the area where the second thing happened and could not figure out where the water came from. You know, the ships are traditionally haunted in so many cases. I mean, the Queen Mary in Long Beach, California is a place that frequently comes up in conversations that Lauren and I have with people, because all the time, you know, we go out and we'll meet people and they find out what I do and they say, oh, tell me some stories about stuff that's happened to you. And often one of Lauren's scariest experiences comes up, and she tells the story of what happened to her when she and I were doing an investigation on the Queen Mary one time. Long story short, I had a very expensive, elaborate set of equipment that I needed to leave in the hands of someone I trusted, and so I left the equipment, it was called the Paranormal PC, in Lauren's control while I took a group to another section of the ship, and I left her alone in this extremely haunted area deep in the hull of the ship, and needless to say, sitting there alone with very, very dim lighting was a creepy atmosphere for her, not to mention the fact that all of a sudden, when the paranormal activity really kicked in, the paranormal PC shut down, as often happens with electronics. And so now here she is in very dim lighting, and she has all of these ghosts running around her from, you know, guys who were apparently killed, hearing their footsteps and their voices and all this. And as a matter of fact, when I finally came back and found her, she was extremely distressed. She was in tears. She was so scared. So ships, you know, they're just these big, complex, metallic structures that surround you. They're all around you. And I think they hold energy. And it may be that just in the same way that a Faraday cage can keep certain energies out, well, maybe if the energy originates within the Faraday cage, there's a property that sometimes keeps it in and that holds it there, like a resonant chamber. These are things that transcend our understanding, but there are plenty of haunted ships out there. I also am reminded of a time when Lauren and I were in Charleston, South Carolina, and we were having lunch with some good friends right there on the water, and a ship had just come in, and some people came. I think it was a Carnival cruise ship, and some people came into the restaurant and were talking to us about the fact that the cruise had ended early because a young man, I believe they said he was in the military, had gone on the cruise and had lost a bunch of money in the casino and became so distraught that he walked out to the balcony very high up on the atrium, because if you've never been on a cruise ship, I mean, some of these cruise ships are designed so that you can walk out and there's a balcony and you look down and it's probably like 100 or 150 feet, you know, below you. And so he jumped and he killed himself. And there are all these ghosts, you know, that get sort of trapped in these ships, it seems like. So, the issue, of course, is that you go on a cruise and then you leave and then it's a done deal. It's not like Jeff can turn around and go back to that location necessarily and investigate, but maybe he'll book that cruise again and then go back and see if he picks up some kind of an anomaly there at that spot. Here's another email that I got. Now, this one I really am happy to share with you because, you know me, I always explicitly ask for permission before I talk about someone in detail and give that person's name. And I can tell when I get a message from somebody who actually listens to this podcast and keeps up with my work because they will say, "You have my permission to use my name," and blah, blah, blah. So this is something that I'm going to call a testimonial. It came in from a man named Christian Bewley. He says, I have the email right here in front of me. I'm reading. He says, "I will keep this brief as I know you are incredibly busy." By the way, I'm going to pause and say thank you for that, Christian. Again, this is a guy who listens and he knows. All right, so he goes, "I am skeptical of most, quote, law of attraction products that are out there. But I decided to give your finding your magic kit with a wand a try." He says, "After opening it, I was surprised at the detail and quality. It was quite striking. I have used it a few times. Just the other morning, I employed the wand to bring more success to my wife in her real estate deal. When I got home, she told me that she has a new client. The client just came from the ether. There was nothing she could have done to bring this client in. And I attribute this to the wand and the power from the Orgone Accumulator. I have used it to charge my minions and cannot wait to see what they accomplish. I'm stating this now and will check in with you when I have further results. The first minion, Charlie, has the job of winning lotteries and raffles. I am constantly buying raffle tickets for good causes. I'm going to buy a lottery ticket even though I do not usually buy them, and I can't wait to report on how they have done. My second minion's name is Harley. Harley's job is to go out and get me a Harley Davidson that matches my heart's desire. Harley may work with Charlie on this task, as some of the raffles I buy are for motorcycles. But lastly, I want to say I greatly appreciate you and Mobius for doing the research and presenting working products that actually work. I can confidently purchase anything you have to sell, knowing that I will get a square deal that is on the level. You have my explicit permission to use any and all of this email as testimony on your website and podcast. Thank you again, Christian Bewley." How do you like that? Real email. Christian, thank you. And sir, you are right. You will always get a square deal that is on the level from me and Mobius and anybody else I deal with. And that is because I will be honest with you. I am a successful businessman. And I am successful selling something that is weird. It's one thing, you go to buy a car, you know what the car is, you know how it works, you can test it out, you know. You go to the grocery store, you know you need to put something in your mouth, so what's it going to be? You know, that I'm selling things that are odd. And so that's an extra challenge because there's an educational aspect to it. You have to explain what you're selling and how it's to be used. And in large part, the reason that I am successful as a businessman is that I only present high quality products that work for over 90% of the people who get them. And for anybody that it doesn't work for, I offer a 100% money-back guarantee. So you have nothing to lose. And now if I say that, if I say I'm going to sell you this thing and give you a 100% money-back guarantee, and I sold something that didn't work, and everybody asked for their money back, well, that would suck for me really bad, wouldn't it? So that shows you how confident that I am in what I'm selling. And this is just another example of that. And if you want to know what he's talking about, the particular kit that he bought is the Finding Your Magic Kit. And if you go to joshuapwarren.com, there is no period after the P. If you go to joshuapwarren.com, well, just click the link to the Curiosity Shop, and you'll find on there the Finding Your Magic Kit. Now, when you buy it, you instantly receive the ebook that will change your life. You instantly receive the audio book that will change your life. And while you're waiting for the wand to arrive, you can be enjoying those materials, because within days, you will receive a wand. It's a handmade, handcrafted, unique product with an Orgon accumulator pyramid on the top of it. It comes with instructions. The instructions are signed by me, so you know they are authentic and they came directly from me and my workshop. All that stuff is at the Curiosity Shop at joshuapwarren.com. So I hope you'll go and check it out and tell your friends to do the same. And while you're there, don't forget to click the link to this podcast. It's called Joshua P. Warren Daily. It's always short. It's always free. It's independent. There are no commercials. You can subscribe through various means or just follow me on Twitter at Joshua P. Warren, at Joshua P. Warren, and I will post when new ones are available. So there's a lot going on, but that's it for today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your interest. Thank you for staying curious. And I will talk to you again soon.